Good evening, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the monthly Planning and Zoning Commission meeting. It is now 7 o'clock. I'd like to call the meeting to order. Can we all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, please?
Pledge allegiance to the flag, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Will the clerk call the roll, please?
Mr. Bartholomew?
Here.
Mr. DiGiovanni?
Here.
Mr. Denise? Mr. Harris?
Here.
Mr. Mizowitz?
Here.
Mr. Kopchanski?
Here.
Mr. Sadlick?
Here.
Mr. Malerba?
Here.
Mr. Soika?
Here.
Okay, the record should reflect that you have six regular members and two alternate members, Mr. Chair, so you do have a quorum.
Thank you. Okay, I'd like to introduce our two new members to the commission. This is their first meeting. Regular member Rick Bartholomew and alternate member Oni Malerba. Will the clerk swear them in, please?
Gentlemen, would you please stand and raise your right hand? You solemnly swear that you will faithfully uphold the Constitution of the United States, the Constitution of the State of Connecticut, and the Charter and Ordinances of the City of Derby, so long as you are a citizen thereof, and you solemnly swear that you will faithfully and impartially execute your duties as members, a member and alternate member of the Planning and Zoning Commission of the City of Derby to the best of your abilities. Hope you got. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it. Number four, additions, deletions, corrections to the agenda. I have one. I'd like to move under 9B. I'd like to move that to 9A and then vice versa, 9A to 9B, so that we could just flip-flop those so we can get a party to another meeting. Do I have a motion?
I'll make the motion.
Bill Harris, second.
I'd second it.
Rick? All in favor? Okay. Go ahead. Motion carries.
For the new members, if you're going to speak, just remember to hit the mic.
Oh, correct. Okay. Okay, the agenda is adopted with the corrections. Number five, communications. I have none. Ryan, any from the office?
Just the letter that the memo that Vince prepared. He's on the call, but I think we could probably hold that till later in the meeting, just so we can get things moving.
Fair enough.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, go
you
ahead.
Have my letter, don't you?
Oh,
where are you going to put that?
I could do either or. Actually, I don't have it printed, but I do have it in. I could read it if you wish to do that now.
Well, I'm just going to say, I mean, it's a letter of resignation. My wife and I are moving from Derby in May. That's when our address change is going to take place. So I want to notify the mayor. So there's no mystery to the rest of the commission as well. I suggested I could not change my address until May, so I could attend the May meeting.
Yep.
Not selling the house till the summer or the fall. So, I mean, technically, I'm still I'll be a homeowner in Derby. But I do think it's appropriate that I step aside. When we get to the other, to our subcommittee, we have, I'm going to suggest there that I could participate. Rather than just leave the subcommittee in a lurch, I'll participate as a consultant, if you want to call it, whatever you want to call it.
I think
just come in and help and finish it up. Right?
I think that would be wise. I think we'll make that work somehow.
Okay.
And just to be clear, it says effective June 1st. That we're still on that, right? June 1st?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure. Do you want me to read that into the record now, or you want to wait until
As long as you got the letter, I just want to make sure that it was, that it was, that it's in the record and everybody knows.
Okay.
There's no.
Perfect. Thank you. Are there any other communications? If not, we'll move on to number six, the public portion. Before we have anyone from the public come up to speak, we do have two public hearings, like I said, 9A and 9B. If there's anyone that wishes to speak on those two items, you can do so in that section. So it would be anybody from the public or online that wishes to speak about anything other than the public hearings that we have for tonight. Mark, is there anyone online?
There are.
Okay. If anybody is on Zoom that wishes to speak in the public portion. All you need to do is just state your name, your address for the record, and you could unmute your mic. Anyone from the public wish to speak? Anyone from the public wish to speak? Is there anyone here in the audience that wishes to speak on anything other than the two public hearings? Final time, anybody from the public wish to speak? Okay, if not, we'll close the public portion. We'll go to number seven, approval of minutes, 3/18/2025. Do we have those? We didn't get those. Yeah. Okay, can I get a motion to table that?
Okay.
Bill and Ray. All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay. Number eight, receipt of applications. There are no new applications. I don't even know what that is. I wasn't in the packet. This is the first I saw.
No, this is on the agenda that Kevin White asked it to be under the informal discussion.
Oh, perfect. Okay. No problem. Okay, so let's do number eight, there are no new applications. We'll go to 9A. 9A is Griffin Hospital, 130 Division Street, site plan modification application for a modular building to be a permanent addition to Griffin Hospital to replace the magnetic resonance imaging, the MRI trailer on Spring Street, the site of the hospital.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. Attorney Dominic Thomas, Cohen and Thomas, 315 Main Street, representing the applicant. The certificate of mailing with the notices were filed via PDF. If you wish paper copies, I have the originals here. I will report that I received one email in response to my notices, and I just want to point it out to you because, you know, under your site plan regulations, you require that when the application is filed, you require that notices go out. So the inquiry I got is, was there any reason why she got two letters? And I had to explain to her, one goes out at the beginning, one because there's a public hearing. That is the only inquiry I ever received. I will note, obviously, that we did have to obtain a variance, which we did obtain from the Zoning Board of Appeals, reducing the setback from 20 feet to 0 feet. We did not take advantage of the whole variance, as you'll hear later. At that time, Nicholas D'Antona, and I submitted this for the record, Nicholas D'Antona wrote a letter in support. He is the only individual living on Spring Street in the block between Seymour Avenue and Maple Street that is not a Griffin Hospital property. And there's a letter which was sent as a PDF. I'm not going to bother to read it. It's filed in your thing, but he acknowledged support for the application because the truck traffic with the trailer, taking the trailer in and out, was something that he was happy to see resolved. The project, as stated, is to replace the existing MRI trailer with a modular building that would be in addition to the hospital and a permanent. I handed out a packet to everybody, which is the site plan, which you have the full size sets. But at the end of that packet is an aerial and two photographs of Spring Street to give you an idea of what we are talking about, number one, and to show you what the trailer that is there looked like. As I said, we obtained the variance and allowed the setback to be reduced. One of the things you say, well, you know, pretty much the entire back of the property and the entire Seymour Avenue side of the property was automatically made pre-existing legal nonconforming when the hospital campus was laid on it, because Griffin Hospital, for those of you that weren't around, I probably was, in 1909, the hospital was first built at a much smaller, and throughout the years, it expanded to the point what you see right now in the main building. I think we all, hopefully, take pride in the fact that while we can go around and tell everybody that we are the only valley that has the adjective the before it, and that's it, we also have probably, not probably, we have the best community hospital in the state, and it provides us in the valley, especially us in Derby, with excellent medical care in a local fashion, which is very beneficial. But it started a long time ago, and because of that, it resulted in us having to get the variance. I believe the trailer itself, which was in there, which was is a structure, was 8 feet or 10 feet from the property line, so it was in violation. So we had to get the variance down to zero to be able to do it. The statement of use that I provided to you is basically I submitted a letter that was drafted for the ZBA hearing, which gives you a detailed explanation of why and what the enhancements are and the benefits are for the upgrade to the for the modular building and the upgrade. Just a minute. You can make a brief statement. I just want to make sure. Before I have Pat Charmel, the president and CEO of the hospital, address you, I'd like to address an issue that's been brought up about parking. Griffin is simply replacing and upgrading a necessary medical service. The modular building will be about 1,000 square feet larger than the trailer in order to enhance the patient experience of having an MRI. As you can read from the letter that we submitted, currently, because of the confinement of the trailer and everything like that, patients actually have to walk in a semi-public area in their Johnny coats to get into the MRI. It's my position very clearly that there's no parking issue here because we are just replacing an existing use and existing service. And while whenever you make a service better, I mean, certainly people may be attracted to it, but it is a service in the hospital that exists right now, and people get MRIs and they go there now. So what I did in response to the issues is, and with the help of Charles Croce from Taijin Bond, I looked into the ITE, which is the Bible with respect to parking and traffic. And since not all hospitals are the same, they do not provide the same services, they have different populations and staff, the ITE recommends, and that certainly, number one, that you don't treat it like a medical office, because it's not, a hospital is not a medical office. There may be medical offices in there, but they don't recommend that you treat it. That what you look at is the number of beds, the number of patients, the number of employees, and if you can, visitor traffic. And you'll note here, we are not increasing any beds. There's an MRI facility, there's an MRI facility. We are not increasing necessarily any patients, although somebody, and we've say it in the letter, somebody that would have had to go, for example, to Quarry Walk to get a certain MRI done up there will be able to get it done down here. Some people may choose to go to Quarry Walk. So basically, again, the position is this is not a parking issue, it's just a replacement. But even if you looked at it, we are not increasing any of those factors in any measurable way to treat it. But the other thing you've got to consider, I think, is for those of you that know, you don't lose your observations and common sense. The other thing is you have to recognize the efforts that Griffin has made to address the parking issues. They have valet parking. They purchased the property that was the Birmingham Health Center, turned it into a parking lot for their employees, I believe, and for patients. And they have valet parking to take you in there. Similar, frankly, to what you find in a lot of other hospitals that maybe do not have access to a large parking garage, for example, like Yale New Haven. So we believe that this is just a very simple changeover to a modular building to replace the trailer that's there and to enhance the service. So with that, I would like, if Pat, would you like to say a few words about the change?
Thank you. Hi, I'm Pat Charmel, the president of Griffin. And, you know, my colleagues are here with me tonight, Monica Simonelli, Christine Cooper, who's our vice president responsible for diagnostic services, and Christy Popescu, who's our director of radiology. As Attorney Thomas said, you know, we have been looking forward to replacing that mobile service for a long time with a fixed building. I think, frankly, when we originally introduced the MRI service as a mobile service, I think it was our intention then, and it's probably, it's decades. You know, it's a very big trailer. It's very heavy. It's 63,000 pounds. We're moving it on and off the site. You know that we're going to be making significant road and sidewalk improvements in the area starting this summer. So we think this is the time to stop the mobile traffic. The fixed site, as Attorney Thomas mentioned, will make for a better patient experience for patients. It's a pretty narrow trailer. It's pretty confining for patients and for staff. So having this facility will allow us to have, as we heard, bathrooms in the MRI suite, adequate changing areas. We can bring patients down from in the hospital who are having an inpatient MRI and have a sort of a holding area right inside the suite so patients aren't in the hallways. So it really allows us to upgrade the service. I'll reiterate the point that Attorney Thomas made. This is not increasing activity. It's replacing a mobile with a fixed site. And just to, since we introduced the mobile service at the hospital, we've introduced two additional MRI units. So we have a 3T of stronger magnet at Quarry Walk in Oxford. So patients that were previously done at the hospital are now done in Oxford. And we have an open MRI magnet in Shelton. So we have three different. So we can shunt volume off to those other locations, which relieves some of the pressure in the hospital. And this is more geared toward emergency patients and patients who are inpatients. And we don't see that activity increasing. So hopefully you can, you know, accommodate this. I think it'll be a major improvement in the services that we offer. And, you know, we're trying to fit it on that site. That is basically the service side of the hospital. Going through the history, that used to be the main entrance on Spring Street, believe it or not, when the hospital opened in 1909. But now it's become more the support and service end. We have our loading dock on the backside of the building. We're soon to have a cogeneration unit adjacent to this. And luckily, our neighbor is very supportive of this. So we're pleased that we're not going to cause any disruption in the neighborhood. So myself and colleagues, we're here to answer any questions you have. And thanks for your consideration.
Thank you. Hit it one more time, Dom. Hit the button one more time. There you go.
If there are no questions for Pat or the staff, I'll call upon Charles Croce from Tyson Bond to go over the site plan with.
Are there any questions from the commission for Dominic or Mr. Charmel right now? Go ahead, Bill.
So I was just curious, how many patients do you expect to process through this unit? I mean, daily, monthly, there must be a metric, something you have.
Yeah, we can actually, because it's replacing an existing.
You just step to.
Yep. Just so it's replacing an existing service that's already in operation. So my colleagues can tell you how many patients we see a day. Christy, you want to do that?
So I'm Christy Popescu. I'm the director of radiology at Griffin Hospital. On a daily basis, we probably see about 8 to 10 patients. And then annually, it's around 2,000. This will also, one additional thing to highlight is currently we are not able to perform MRIs on intubated patients. This modular unit will allow us to offer that. So patients that are in the ICU or non-ventilators, we will be able to perform MRIs.
So there'll be an increase then, and probably likely an increase in the number?
So it again, it's 8 to 10. It does depend. We do sedation cases as well currently. So that would be a rough average of patients.
Okay.
There aren't going to be that many.
You're getting your workout today.
Yeah, it's a new capability, but that's a rare occurrence, having to do an MRI on an intubated patient. So that's not going to increase the daily average.
Okay, all right. Understood. Thank you.
One follow-up with that.
Come up here.
Well, it's just the intubated patient would already have been a patient at the hospital. You're not going to bring somebody in from the outside. So it's not new people coming in. That's just somebody you already had. You didn't have to send them out now because you could do it there.
Exactly.
I just wanted to clarify that.
And then before you go, I just so will this help you increase, your emergency department? Like if somebody comes in with trauma, would you be able to accept different types of patients at the hospital for this type of?
Essentially, we offer the MRI service with a similar magnet now, so we can accommodate emergency patients now, and we will be with a fixed site.
Gotcha. Okay. Any other questions from the commission up to this point?
No. I just want to say that my wife's a frequent flyer with this MRI down there now, the temporary one you have, and she greatly appreciates having this new unit put in there, being in that cold hallway in the middle of winter. It's really going to help the patients.
Just state your name and the firm for the record one more time. There you go.
Good evening. My name is Charles Croce. I'm a professional civil engineer with Ty & Bond, located at 1000 Bridgeport Avenue in Shelton, Connecticut. And I'm going to be referring to the site plan package that was submitted with the application. You'll notice on sheet C002.
Just so you know, I'm going to share my screen with those members who are on Zoom. So I'll follow along as you go.
All right. So if you have sheet C002, the campus map, you'll see an aerial of the of a parcel on campus, which shows the hospital. And down on the south end of that parcel, you see a shaded area. And that's where the existing trailer MRI is located. And that's the project area where the proposed modular permanent structure is also going to be located. If you go to sheet C101, at the top view, there's an existing conditions plan. And you'll see the a skinny rectangular shape, and that's the existing MRI trailer. I think it's about 8 feet wide by 45 feet long. To the north of that, hatched, is the existing hospital. And actually, the bump out just opposite the trailer, there's actually a connector piece that you walk through to go from the hospital into the MRI trailer and back. It's not shown on the survey, but there is a little connector piece. Existing surface coverage is mostly concrete with some asphalt and some grassed areas in there. And then if we go to sheet C201, the site plan. So starting on the east side of the site plan, it's the upper view. You'll see shaded gray is the proposed modular MRI building. It's about 54 feet long by 28 feet wide, or 1,500 square feet. It actually connects right to the hospital. So the connection, walking from the hospital into the modular unit, there's no connector piece. It connects right to the hospital. Then to the east of that modular building is a concrete pad. That concrete pad has cooling units, or pad-mounted cooling units, that service the modular building. And that's a 9x15 concrete pad. And then to the west of that pad, there's a larger one. And that's about a 12x18 pad. And that's on a a different project that the hospital is working on, and we really showed that more for planning purposes. So that's not being built under this project. That's a separate project, but we wanted to make sure that all the pieces fit. And then down below, on the site utility drainage soil erosion plan, same drawing, you'll see the shaded modular building. We're collecting the rainwater from the rooftop of that structure and piping it to a dry well on site and infiltrating the stormwater. And that's to reduce peak stormwater flow and volume from going off site, and also infiltrating to meet water quality requirements by infiltrating into the ground. There's an overflow out of that dry well that connects back to the campus's storm sewer system. And then there's also a sewer shown there. The line has an SS on it, if folks are following along. And that also heads to the west to a manhole and then connects back to an existing storm sanitary sewer on hospital campus. The rest of the utilities come straight from the hospital into the modular building. So all the rest of the utilities needed. And there is some grading shown on there. And there was a comment made that there's an 11% grade shown on that pad. That's for a different project, a future project. So that would actually be addressed at a later date to level that pad. So when the future equipment goes there, you know, it would be level, but it is shown at 11% currently. And then for soil erosion, you know, it's a relatively small area. So we're just showing a silt fence around the project area to prevent any sediment from going onto the adjacent Spring Street. And then just again to reiterate the modular building, just in general terms, you know, has the waiting room, the changing rooms, outpatient prep, you know, everything included in that modular building. And so that's the overview of the site plan.
Questions on the site plan?
Yeah.
Go ahead, David.
I have a question, a couple of questions. This project is going to eliminate 5 off-street parking spaces off of Spring Street. I don't see those spaces identified anywhere on the plan. Nor did I see that mentioned in the statement of use.
Not eliminating it.
You're eliminating off-street parking in that area where the generator pad is going, where the chiller pad is going. They're clearly identified on the site with markings and with signage.
Not for the public.
Is that?
I didn't say they're for the public. It doesn't really matter.
Is it striped? Was that? I'm trying to picture in my head and looking at the survey. We don't show like actual striped parking. Is there?
You don't show that at all.
I don't recall actual striped parking there. I do recall perhaps some facility maintenance temporary parking where they would park there.
No, there's signage there. We have pictures of it.
Put your mic on.
Oh, right here, Dominic. This picture.
There's trucks. There's a truck parked there with signs, and that's what Dave is talking about.
Not public parking.
Okay, that's what Dave was talking about.
It's parking for the Griffin Hospital staff, and the Griffin Hospital staff. There is an abundance of parking that the Griffin Hospital staff can use at other locations since they have multiple parking lots. And if they have to move their vehicles from over there, they can relocate their vehicles from over there. It does not take away any parking for the public.
But it takes away parking for the staff.
Parking for the staff.
Where in the plan are you going to relocate these 5 spaces?
There are 3 other parking lots. You're talking about the site, that there are 3 other parking lots that can be used by the staff in order to address any issues. Correction.
Can I just
1, 2,
Dominic, maybe I can help with that. So I think the spots in, I don't have the plan in front of me. There are some hospital-owned vehicles that our staff is parking on Spring Street that could be parked at a number of other places. So it's not general staff parking. Like if you're a nurse and you get there in the morning, you can park there. It's our engineering department that's probably parking hospital owned vehicles there. We own plenty of other parking, including the former City Cutter and Grinder building. We can park them there. Those spaces are not used routinely. The reason, David, that they're parking there is because it's an easier walk to get into the building.
My question is, where do they plan to relocate these parking spaces to? And it should be identified on the plan, or at least in the statement of use.
Okay, we can certainly do that for you.
Parking requirements are for public parking, as long as you don't take away the public parking. I made it clear in my presentation that there was plenty of other parking lots that the staff can park to. The staff would be directed to park in other places. You have, by my count, four other lots, four other locations that they're able to park at. So I don't believe relocating staff spaces that are not public spaces has any impact on the parking, especially if you look at the ITE and what you're supposed to look at. We have the capability to park people off-site, and the capability to, if you've ever been to Griffin, as I was for 44 days during the fall and into the early winter, you notice that you have vans taking staff and personnel all around, and they're picked up. So that is addressed through that. The fact is that those spaces for staff are being taken up has no impact upon the public parking. And
our parking regulations don't distinguish between staff parking and public parking. It's based on the size and the use of the facility.
And your parking regulations have nothing in it for hospitals. So that is on the ITE, it is not. Under the ITE, an office is not, a hospital is not a medical office. And when you don't have a specific regulation dealing with a specific use, then you look to the general concerns like the ITE, and under the ITE, we're not increasing any parking whatsoever. Increasing any parking for the public.
Attorney Thomas, these parking spots that you have there, I don't see them. That's got to be like a 15-minute parking or something of that other, because how do you get the trailer out? If you got a truck parked there, you got another truck. If this is overnight trucks or their engineering department or a nurse or somebody off the street parks there, how do you get that trailer? I see that trailer out, I don't want to say, but let me say frequently, out moving back and forth, in and out. So that can't be a permanent parking spot. It probably not even official parking. It's probably not even official parking.
It says staff parking.
Yeah, it's for staff, and staff would have to be moved.
Just one more time.
It would have to be a staff member that has some type of office or something at that loading dock, because if that MRI has got to move out, they can't go searching for somebody in the hospital for 2 hours to call up over the loudspeaker to move a car.
I mean, so I probably can help again one more time with this. So we have a number of staff parking lots for general staff parking. Those spaces are not for general staff parking. So they're engineering vehicles that we own, and the engineering staff has the ability to erect signs. They proceed until apprehended. Those are not official. Those are guys with post hole diggers that will run our engineering department and put up signs. I can easily have those signs removed. Those vehicles used to park on the lot next to the boiler room, which I know you know, which is on Seymour Avenue. That's a little closer to the door. So they move those spots over to park to the door. Obviously, for the greater good, this is an important project. We can make them walk the additional steps from the boiler room parking lot to the door. Those were never added to our complement of staff parking. Those were kind of commandeered by the engineering department. I should have prevented it. I didn't. I can unprevent it.
So those parking spots weren't added to the total parking spots to your facility. Okay. Any other questions, Dave?
No, not right now.
Any other questions from the commission?
I just have a couple.
Go ahead, Ray.
It's more for your engineer. Is there a reason why it's a modular building and you just didn't propose an addition to the existing structure?
So proceeding with the modular building, we will be able to relocate the current trailer for a temporary amount of time to minimize. If we had done ground construction, it would have taken a lot more time putting us in a temporary location. While we're in the temporary location, we are working diligently to minimize the impact to our ED patients. But again, from a patient experience, they will be brought out through a door. They will be put onto a lift and have to be brought up. So again, focused on patient experience, this is the way to minimize the duration of the impact.
The company that we're using, actually, this is what they do. They make pre-built, they built it off-site and basically relocated on-site specifically for this purpose. So they have tremendous expertise.
So it's already upfitted.
What's that?
It's already upfitted, designed for max.
It's designed specifically for this use, and they have experience doing this work all around the country for MRI enclosures because it's specialized work. It's shielded. We're paying a lot of attention, even though it's on Spring Street, to the exterior shell of the building so that it's attractive and in keeping with kind of the aesthetic of the rest of the campus. So we're not putting up a kind of corrugated steel building. There's a lot of attention to detail. It'll be very attractive.
Go ahead, Ray.
Well, also, kind of on that same note, we don't have any architectural plan or anything showing the finishes or colors or anything like that.
Right, and it's we're not required to go to. There are elevations that are in
those
there.
Are accurate.
Huh?
Those are accurate.
Yes, the elevation.
And color and
not
architectural design plan that Mr. Carmel just referred to.
Okay. I don't think it shows the color of the regular elevations showing the building.
Huh? The stucco finish.
Yes, it shows a stucco.
It's been upgraded since then. Okay. There are other elements.
And we don't. Do we have that? We don't have that, though.
We can share that with you. They're under development, but we just saw the latest version today.
And the other thing was, you said yourself, you don't show the entryway existing from the hospital to the trailer or to the new structure.
I'm sorry.
The entry from the existing building to the trailer and to the new structure. You said that was omitted for some reason?
No. In the existing conditions, it didn't show the little ramp from the hospital into this. There will be no little ramp in this building. It just will be part of the building.
Indeed. Sounds like
the new building, it's going to be, you're going to be entering. You're not going to be going over a little ramp to get into
it. Right, it's just going to be connected. I get that, but where is that shown here? I don't see that.
Maybe a better view. Yeah.
I think they were trying to say if you go to this one, you know that here. They're trying to say that it's like almost bump out here.
Yeah, but it's not shown.
Look at the finished floor.
Right, I realize what you're trying to say, but it's not shown on the site plan. And our job here is to approve the site plan. And part of our site plan approval process.
You're talking about, I'm a little lost. You're talking about what? Entrance into the new?
Yes, building? Yes. Yes.
It's from the existing hospital. It's an interior. Nothing.
Turn your microphone on.
It's from the existing hospital. It's not like it is entering the trailer.
I understand that, but it's not shown on the site plan.
It wouldn't be possible to show on the site plan. It's inside the
why would it
building. It may be shown on the floor plan. You may be shown where the door is on the floor plan that's attached. You know, with...
It's not, there's huh? No entrance in.
Northeast corner.
And then also right. An entrance in here.
But it's not a...
I'm not seeing it.
Okay. It's at least an exit. Yeah. Whether or not it's an entry, I don't know.
So the new building,
right. Yeah.
It butts right up against the hospital. So there's no front, there's no, from the street, you don't see an entrance. You just see the building.
There's no quarter.
Yeah, it's from the entranceway is through the hospital, so you won't see. There's nothing on the outside,
but it's not shown on the site plan.
Yeah,
the view.
If you may.
Oh yeah, sure.
I don't know if you want to go by the floor plan or
something.
Oh, so it was a site.
This is the modular building.
Right.
It butts right up against the existing building, right? So there's no gap around. Just right up against it.
But didn't you say you were removing that?
No, we're in progress. There was just a little hole in there.
There's
a lot of wet. But that comes off and just butts right up against the
See how far that is? Here, maybe.
Okay, you see this? There's a little
gap. Turn up the lights in the
Okay. Did that answer your question, Ray?
That's the aerial view showing that little piece that's going away.
Right, and it's just, you know, usually things would be shown and labeled on a site plan to that effect. Travel areas, exits, emergency exits, which brings up another thing. Did this office
go to the fire marshal's office? Is he approved, sign off on this, or?
Fire marshal, once the building permit is applied for, then the fire
marshal, once the building permit's applied for, then the fire marshal reviews the plans to make sure it complies the fire code.
Okay, you say so, but I beg to differ with you on that.
Right now, there is no fire marshal in Derby, so.
Well, we still. Yeah, we still. Has nothing to do with it. I mean, if you read our site plan approval process and application process, it clearly states in their architectural design colors, things, I mean, and amongst a slew of other things we haven't even touched on here.
I mean, if you're. Certainly, that can be requested, architectural.
You know, heights of the building, proximity to the street, sight lines. Public safety is one of the things that's listed in there. And I know that the hospital's there for the greater good, don't get me wrong. But this commission's here to keep the public safe, too.
Yeah.
And sight lines from that corner over there with traffic and the height of the building being built, like with zero lot line setback there, is a little concerning. So between the fire department, the fire marshal's office should be in a hospital, I would think you'd look at it first.
Fire marshal does go in and look at it for building. What you do doesn't impact what the fire code is. If the
well, at least I would like to see this referred to the first sign off.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, Ray.
Go.
Tom, our regulations clearly require referrals to different agencies. Did you refer these plans to anybody? No, because we don't. No. We're not referring to agencies. We file applications, and it's up to the planning and zoning department, whatever, that receives the multiple copies. We provide 10 copies. So we don't go and provide them.
The fire marshal's office hasn't seen this yet.
I don't know. What I'm trying to explain to you is, in every other, and I do quite a bit of zoning, in every other town that I'm in, when you ask for six copies of something, the six copies of something are given out by the planning and zoning department to whomever they determine needs to review it. That's how it's done. The applicant does not refer anything out. We have no power to refer anything out to other staff. The fact of the matter is that it's up to the planning and zoning department to send it out. Fire marshals can certainly comment on it and everything like that. The fire marshal has authority. When you go for the building permit, the fire marshal must review that it complies with the fire code or anything like that. There's nothing in this situation, keeping in mind you had a trailer there, replacing it with a modular building. There's nothing related to public safety, nor is there anything related to fire safety. It has all that, and when it goes for the building department. So honestly, we don't refer it out. If your planning and zoning department doesn't refer it out, it's basically their problem.
It looks like a chiller pad and a generator are going right next to this building.
Generator is part of another project.
Nope. It's still on the plan. It's on this plan. A generator pad and a chiller pad. So the fire marshal would be interested in that.
Dominic, I was asking if they had seen this, if the fire marshal had seen it. So you answered my question. You said no.
No.
So we will refer it to the fire marshal.
Don't know that it's not. In every other town that I have dealt with in this state, when you file copies, in every other town in this state, when you file copies, it's up to the planning and zoning department to send them out to the other departments it wants it reviewed. So I'm assuming that the planning and zoning department did that. We had to submit, I think, 6 or 8 full-size sets, whatever it was.
Maybe a question should be for Ryan. Ryan, did you refer these plans to any other civil agencies?
No.
Raymond, do you have any other questions?
I was just looking up the section. It's 195-30, site plan review article, all of Article 5, actually. So, no, not at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Any other questions from any of the committee members?
I know one.
Go ahead, Joe.
Has a temporary location for the trailer been established? Do you know what that's going to be?
One more.
Yep. Yes. So the trailer will be relocated out to the emergency room, pushed back as far as possible. The entrance to the ED will not be impacted. We will be maintaining the entrance for both patients and then also for ambulances and the exit. So the traffic pattern will not be impacted, and the entrance to the ED, the building itself, will also be maintained.
Any other questions, Joe?
No.
So on the
go ahead, Mr. Sherman.
On the plan, you were asking about the pad for the generator and the chiller. So the small generator and chiller that's adjacent to the modular building serve the MRI unit. There's another pad going west. That's for a future project where we're looking at cogeneration to generate our own power, or at least a portion of our power. That would be on the second pad, but that's still in under development. So I just wanted to be clear that the small pad next to the modular building is to serve the MRI. So that is part of the same project.
Okay, so the one on the site plan to the left of the building is exclusively just for the building itself?
Yes.
Okay. And then the other pad to the left of that, that generator concrete pad, that's going to be a different project? Okay, understood. Any other questions from the commission? Go ahead, Bill.
So the way I'm looking at this is you're going to have folks coming from the hospital into this area.
So and what I want to get to is parking's not an issue for them. They're already parked, right? Where a concern might come in for us is so could I drive up and get an MRI? No. So I'm coming in through the hospital process, checking in, then they send me into this unit and I can do whatever I need to do within the unit. So that's really one of the important things. There is no need for more parking because nobody's driving up to get an MRI. Right. We're not registering for the MRI in this building. We're coming for an MRI. We're coming in from another place. And this is just allowing that egress to be more patient friendly and plus give you all the facilities you need to do it. So no extra cars are going to park outside. Nobody's dropping anybody off to go into the building. Correct. which would prompt the parking conversation. So
yeah.
And as long as that's not happening, then
that isn't. And I know there was a question. I was sitting in the back where the entrance might be from inside the hospital. This will be a continuation of an existing corridor into a building. So you wouldn't recognize that you're actually leaving the main building into this new module.
It's kind of where the imaging place is now, right? Where you get
it'll be continuous.
I was there last right. year, so I know a little
so
bit.
If you're going down that ultrasound corridor on the way to the mobile MRI connector, this would just continue the corridor into right. that building. It's not going to have its own dedicated entrance just
right, on the street. Yeah, just no. Okay, good.
Are there any other questions from the commission? Mark, is there anybody on online on Zoom that wish to speak on 9A?
Yes.
For the public hearing?
Just ask them.
If there's anyone in the public on Zoom that wishes to speak about 9A, the Griffin Hospital 130 Division Street site plan modification, you could just unmute yourself and speak now. Is there anyone from the public that wishes to speak? Okay.
My name is Mark Garfalo, the town clerk in the city of Derby. I spoke at the ZBA meeting and I was asked to not that the parking was not an issue at that for before the ZBA. So those parking matters should be addressed here at this meeting. So I rise to respectfully just note that it would be incomplete to say that there's not a parking issue as it relates to capacity at the hospital and the lack of parking. I don't say it as a criticism. It's just a fact that it encroaches into the neighborhoods, Fairview Terrace, Division Street, Maple Avenue, Spring, Mountain, Summer, Winter, all of those streets in that area, including Seymour Avenue. It is an issue. It's not directly related to this. I mean, obviously this is going to improve this particular project is going to improve the quality of the patient experience, at Griffin. And that should also be noted, but the issue of the growth of the hospital and its encroachment into the neighborhoods, there needs to be structured parking, because the nursing home was purchased and it was taken off the tax rolls. In fact, it was taken off the tax rolls a year earlier than it should have been because of decisions made by the previous administration. And the issue of the sidewalks, a great investment, but I just note for the record that the city of Derby paid half of the design costs to replace those sidewalks and gave up its share of the $3.8 million that's being allocated from the state to go to that project as opposed to another project or other project in the city of Derby. So I just challenge the hospital and the city leadership to work together to address the parking at the hospital in a real way. And I hope that Griffin will be as good a neighbor to us as we have been to them, and they'll be as good a neighbor to us as they've been to the city of Ansonia as it relates to those things. So we need to work together, but there needs to be a longer term solution to that. And it would be tone deaf to not acknowledge that it is an issue, because it's whether it's patients or staff parking in the places that encroach upon the taxpayers and the residents of the city there. So hopefully everybody's cooler heads and smarter heads will prevail to appeal for funding sources or whatever it is to address that parking, because it's sorely needed as the hospital has grown and as those traffic patterns have grown. So I lay that down for the record so that there's no confusion about that on this issue and then going forward. And thank you for your consideration on the matter.
Thank you, Mr. Town Clerk. I just have a few comments just to the commission and the members. Just to let everyone know that if we do decide to keep the hearing open, it must be closed and acted upon on the next at the next meeting, according to the time restraints. So I just want to let everyone know that up front. And our next meeting will be on the 20th of May. Just let everyone know. Are there any other comments or questions, Ryan?
I prepared my comment letter. It was pretty straightforward. I just acknowledged that their storm drainage meets city requirements, that there was a survey noted as part of the application. I didn't see it in the packet, but I think it was submitted for ZBA, so I'm sure it exists.
Okay.
It's readily available. With regard to parking, I would say this. It is something I was looking at during the course of the meeting. In the ITE manual, you have 85 studies done of hospitals based on bed count, patient bed count, 41 studies based on employee count, and only 11 based on gross floor area. So I would tend to agree with their position that the ITE doesn't really support analyzing hospitals on a gross square footage basis. So that was my comments. I think they're minor in nature, and that's all I have. Thank you.
Go ahead, David.
So, Ryan, my question to you is, do we know how many parking spaces would be required by ITE for the Griffin Hospital campus?
Oh, I have no idea.
Oh. So we don't know if they comply or don't comply, correct?
I wouldn't know based on what's been submitted. There's no comprehensive right. analysis.
Is that one of the reasons why you asked for the survey of the property?
No, just to complete the record.
So we're not asking for parking counts at all?
I it's my opinion, Dave, that if they're not increasing staff or increasing bed counts based on this application, that based on ITE guidance, there would be no basis to ask for more parking.
What about losing parking that you already have?
When I look at that area, I see spaces for trailer loading and unloading. Can a car park there on occasion? Yeah. It's looks like based on what I see when I look at street views, historically, there's no parking signs there. And if a hospital vehicle, like a hospital truck or some sort of utility service vehicle parks there on occasion, I wouldn't conflate that with staff parking, visitor parking.
Well, the spaces are marked staff parking.
I don't think it's
something else.
I don't look at that, Dave, as a nurse parking there who's going to her shift. I don't think that those are what those spaces are intended for. I think this is a utility area. This is a loading area. This is a place with transient vehicles. And that's my opinion.
Are there any other questions from the committee? If not, do I have a motion to close the public hearing?
Mr. Chairman, I move to keep the public hearing open and to refer these through staff, through our zoning enforcement officer, and to get these other reports. I want to see something from the fire marshal before that. Because once you get a building permit, it's too late.
Okay.
And there's a lot of public safety issues with this, I feel. Maybe minor. We don't know. I'm not a fire marshal.
So we have a mo.
Can I just state for the record, please? There is.
Once this is.
Well, no.
Go ahead. Go
once
ahead. I'm sorry.
You go for a building permit, the fire marshal needs to sign off. That's where the fire marshal comes in.
Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead, Dave.
Could I read out of our zoning regulations, Dominic? 195-36, supporting referrals. Evidence that the applicant simultaneously with or prior to submission of the application has transmitted a copy of the application together with plans and documents, if so specified, to the following public agencies as required. There's eight agencies, and fire marshal's office is one of them, okay? And they require the entire submission. So it is in the regulations, and it's the applicant's responsibility. Pardon me?
No, they got it. We delivered it to the department downstairs that has the thing fire marshal in it.
It's not what the regulation says.
That's neither here nor that right now. We're talking about the public hearing. We have a motion on the floor to keep it open right now.
Mr. Chair, so you have a motion. The proper order would be either you need get a second or...
Understood. So Raymond...
I'll second that motion.
Okay, so David seconds. All right, now is there any further discussion on it, David?
No, only that, again, regulations require that the applicant submit to the following agencies, the eight following agencies. And I think the fire marshal is very appropriate person to review these plans. And past practices, they've always, plans like this have always been referred to at least the fire marshal, okay? Many times to water pollution control, the street department, the police department. In this case here, I think the fire marshal would be appropriate.
Okay, so we have a motion on the floor. It's been to keep the public hearing open until the next meeting. David, that was on Raymond, seconded by David. All in favor?
I just want to say one more thing.
Go ahead, Raymond.
You know, these are yourself as chairman, Bill, Mr. Mizowitz, Mr. Kabjansky are working on a subcommittee right now to straighten the stuff in this town out and come up with a procedure policy, whereas we could follow it so things aren't done haphazardly as some things have been done in the past. But this clearly is in our existing book, Dominic. It's right here. I mean, it's black and white. So for this commission to go in any other direction and to enforce our existing regulations, I'm not going to be part of that. So
I want to make one thing clear. And you can drop them off down, or when you drop off 8 copies, 10 copies, that is the building department, the zoning department, and the fire marshal. He is in there. And I'll be honest with you, I'll say it to you right now. In the past, that's been done. The company just hired the fire marshal. So technically, I can't. The doors are closed to the public to get into the back as they used to be open. When I slip it through that window, it's going to the fire marshal. It's not your fault that the zoning department did not give it to the fire marshal. It's the planning and zoning department's fault. And again, the fire marshal is going to review it with the building department. But we submitted it. If your regulation says that once you're supposed to walk into the police department and drop it off, that never happens. Fire marshal's office is in the same, at the other side of the window downstairs that you hand in all of the applications. So when I submitted all the applications, when Tajan Bond delivered all the full-size sets, they went right through that window. And the building official's office is there, the zoning enforcement officer's is there, and the fire marshal's office is there. So it was submitted.
So we got a motion on the floor. All in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed?
I'm opposed.
Bill, anyone else? Motion carries. Move the keep the hearing open until next month. Just like to say, I hope this committee understands where Attorney Thomas is coming from, because we, as a committee, have for a long time, even since COVID, have been advocating for the openness to get the department fully staffed and whatnot. So I think it'd be, in the best interest of the city and the Planning and Zoning Commission and Department to keep the pressure on so we can get this, department back in order, which we're taking steps to do right now. But I think that needs to be noted as well. Moving on to 9B, City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street, Derby, Connecticut Zone Text Change Application to add definitions to Section 195-7, Add special exemption uses to sections 195-15D and 195-16.D. Add sections 195-28A, smoke shops, vape shops, and tobacco stores, and reassign aquifer protection areas section 195-28 that was approved in 2010 to section 195-29. Brian?
Mr. Chairman, thank you. Based on the discussion at the last public hearing, we amended this application to essentially remove the use of vape shops as special exception uses in the B1 and B2 zones, and replaced it with 195-28A, which says smoke shops, tobacco stores, and vape shops as defined in Section 185 of these regulations, which are unchanged from the prior prior amendment discussed with the commission, are prohibited in all zoning districts in the city of Derby. So what does that mean? That means if you qualify based on the definitions in this regulation as a smoke shop, as a vape shop, or as a tobacco store, you will not be permitted to operate in the city of Derby. That doesn't mean that a store that has a small corner, like a gas station or something to that effect, would not be would be prohibited from selling tobacco products, vape products. There's definitions that allow for that to be up to 20% of the floor area. In terms of uses of vape shops in B1 or B2 zones, that's no longer part of the regulation. That amendment, because we thought it was substantive enough, was referred to NVCOG and SCROG. Both agencies came back with referrals, finding no intermunicipal issues. So we believe this matches what the intent of the commission was based on the last meeting. And happy to answer any questions you may have. We have Vince on the line as well, on Zoom.
Right. Commission members, let me just point out two sentences that were added. And this addresses how floor area gets measured, and it's taken from elsewhere in your regulations. It's for the purposes of this definition, retail area shall be either 85% of the gross floor area of the premises, or where actual floor plan is available, the area developed for customer use.
I would note that the moratorium for this, for the vape shops that was put into place in October, expires on May 25th. So,
any questions from the members, from the commission?
Mr. Chair,
this is exactly. Go ahead, David. Oops, I mean, Raymond, I'm sorry.
This is what we discussed last month, right?
Correct. Yes.
With the
Yep.
You're just stating
we added the definition, the retail area percentage, just to mirror how it's done and how it's calculated in the parking, just so it reflects sort of a different way if there isn't a floor plan identified to show to estimate what the retail area is, and then the rest of it is just prohibiting it.
And we got a copy of that report saying that there's no significant.
Yeah, both NVCOG and SCROG came back by resolution. SCROG has determined the amendment does not appear to cause any intermunicipal impacts to the towns in the region. And NVCOG said, after additional review of the proposed text amendment modifications, NVCOG continues to find the proposed text amendments not to be regionally significant. That's it.
Are there any other questions? If not,
Brian, have you reviewed it?
Yes, I've reviewed it, and I have no objection to the proposed language for changes.
You good, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay. I had Ryan draft a motion.
Oh, we should close the hearing and
close the hearing.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. Or open up to the public. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
That's what I meant.
I'm on the wrong one. Okay, so public hearing under 9B. Is there anyone on Zoom that wishes to speak for the public hearing for the City of Derby Planning and Zoning Zone Text Change for 195-7? You could just open up your mic, unmute yourself, and give your name and address for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, other than the Valley Independent Sentinel, no, there's no other member.
Oh, okay. All right. Actually, are you guys wish to speak on it? Are you here for that? No? Okay. If there's no
can
one
I
else.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
It's Eugene Driscoll from Valley Independent Sentinel at 246 Hawthorne Avenue in Derby. I know this isn't a Q&A, but if you could find it in your heart to answer the following question. What impact does this have on existing smoke shops? And then if there's a current smoke shop and they send it or sell it to another party and it continues as a vape or smoke shop, is that allowed?
I'll take that question. Unmuted the the computer, not the.
Which part?
So to answer your question, Eugene, a existing vape shop will essentially be grandfathered in. Okay. So if they were to transfer ownership of the vape shop to another entity that continues it as a vape shop, they would be grandfathered in. If a vape shop were to be repurposed as a nail salon, they would not have the ability to reestablish the vape shop after the discontinuance of the nonconformity. So any vape shop that exists today or existed prior to the moratorium being put in place can exist legally without being shut down by the city.
And what about expansion?
Expansion would not be allowed.
For the record.
Okay, no, there's nobody else out there, right? Okay, so
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
So I just want to, so that would, this would not allow any new ones.
Correct.
Nor expansion, right?
Correct.
So I, so just for the record, then I just want to go on record to support that amendment as revised tonight.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Town Clerk. If we have no other questions and there's no one from here, obviously the audience or online, can I have a motion to close the public hearing?
I'll make the motion.
Bill, second?
I'll second it.
Raymond, all in favor?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Okay. The public hearing is closed. And we'll move on to number 10, A. Old business 10A, City of Derby Planning and Zoning, 1 Elizabeth Street, Derby, Connecticut, zone text change application to add definitions to section 195-7, add special exemption uses to 195-15 and 195-16. We'll add sections 195-2A, 28A, smoke shops, vape shops, tobacco stores, and reassign aquifer protection area section 195-28. To section 195-29, discussion impossible action.
Would you like me to read my draft motion, Mr. Chair?
Please, Ryan.
Okay, this is a motion for a zone text change, applicant City Derby Planning Zoning Commission to add, modify, delete the following definitions in section 195-7, smoke shop, tobacco, tobacco stores, vape shop, vaporizer. Add section 195-28A, smoke shop, vape shops, and tobacco stores prohibited. And then reassign section 195-28 Act for Protection Areas to 195-29. Following review of the documentation submitted in support of this application, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission finds the zone text change to the above referenced sections is consistent with the goals of section 195-2 and the Plan of Conservation and Development. Therefore, the Derby Planning and Zoning Commission hereby approves the zone text application as proposed. The effective date of the text amendment shall be April 25th, 2025. This approval shall be based upon the following documents submitted in support of this application. One, application prepared by SLL International Corporation, revised to 3/19/2025. Two, referrals to NVCOG and South Central Regional Council of Governments from SLR dated 3/4/2025 and again on 3/26/2025. Three, letter from Naugatuck Valley Council of Governments, Regional Planning Commission dated 3/31/25. Four, letter from Scrog dated 4/14/25, and five, verbal testimony from the Planning and Zoning Commission members of the public and city staff at the March 18th, 2025 and April 15th, 2025 public hearings.
Okay, thank you. I'll accept that as a form of a motion. Can I get somebody to make the motion?
Make the motion.
Raymond, second. Albert?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. Thank you. Okay, 11A. That's Griffin Hospital site plan modification. We have no action. Move to 12A, Planning and Zoning Subcommittee report on application procedures. Go ahead, Bill, take it away.
So we met prior to this meeting.
normally to try and make the process more user-friendly. So that was one big thing. Another conversation we had dealt with the fact that I'm going to be moving from Derby effective in May. We're going to probably change our address. We're in the middle of working through these documents, and so my colleagues at the meeting, there was panic in their eyes when they said I wasn't going to be there anymore. So I've offered to participate, find some way to participate and help guide what's going to go on. So you're not left in a lurch. I think once we get through the first application and its revisions, then the rest is just going to flow out from that. But getting through that first one is going to be something that's important. So so those are the two major things. Need to work out how I can participate legally and procedurally. Not going to be a resident of the city anymore, but as a, you know, whatever you want to call me, an unpaid. I could be like Elon Musk now, right? There's something I've always strived for, to be an industrialist.
You're going to have to pay us to be on.
Right, yeah. So, and then the other is Kevin has promised us a more thorough review in a couple of weeks. So we'll have something to chew on at the May meeting and then hopefully get closer to pushing this over the finish line. So that's what we have.
Good. Thank you, Bill. Anyone else, David or Albert, you have anything else you want to say?
I want to say that tonight was a good example of why we need to get this done. This was an application that should have went through no problems. Mm-hmm. It was just a couple of little technical things they missed. And this lays it all out what's expected from our applicants. So they have no use for saying, well, they didn't know this. We weren't told this. We weren't supposed to do this. Hopefully, it'll be something.
Yeah, I would just like that. I agree with you 100%, Albert. Tonight was a good example of an application that didn't follow the format. And for whatever reason that happened, hopefully our new application process will cover all the bases.
Mm-hmm.
And before it comes to us. The other thing I'd like to say is Bill Harris has been instrumental in creating this drive for the application process. His technical skills far surpass mine. And Albert has been great also in researching what other towns have. And it's an effort. And tonight with the input from Kevin White, because he's the guy that's going to have to enforce this. Mm-hmm. We want him to be comfortable with it, and we want to be able to add his suggestions for it so that this is going to be a applications that are going to survive the future. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Well, I think we knew it was going to be, when we put the subcommittee together, we knew it was going to be a challenge. It's been a while, but we dug out a lot of the irregulars, and we got things back in the right spot. So hopefully between you guys next month and maybe the month after, we put everything out. But I think as far as you guys have come, it's been a short period of time for all this stuff that we had to dig through and rearrange. And once again, that's why I said to the applicant before, we're almost there, and it's definitely needed. We've had a few of these in the last 6 months or so. So I just want to say thank you guys for being on that subcommittee. I know it wasn't easy, but we're almost there. So, Bill, if you could give us a little bit more time, we'll be good. So yeah. I appreciate that. If there's no other questions, I'd like to move on. We'll go to 12B. If Kevin's still on there, CEO report, and that's yep. 195 Roosevelt Drive.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead, Kev.
Okay. So good evening, everyone. we've been facing this kind of an issue for probably since I've been involved with the zoning department, and it's tonight's prime example is 94 Roosevelt Drive, which is the old Hessels property, the old wire manufacturing place. They've been out of business now for a little while. It's owned by another organization, but basically it has been what it's been for the last 40 years, I believe. There's a group of people interested, and there have been several people interested in purchasing it. The problem is it's zoned CR, which is a residential zone. The applications that have all been talked about for this property is either a construction business or some sign of a manufacturing business, et cetera. However, our zoning regulations do not allow, once a place is a non-conforming use in a zone, it cannot go back to that designation. So what you're basically doing is you're taking this piece of property and saying, even though you are what you are, your future use is going to be something that is not what your intended use is. I need direction from this commission, not only on this piece of property, but on One Krakow Street, 155 New Haven Avenue. There's more than one example of this. And I'm looking for how do we get through this and what the commission's feelings are on this. Hello?
CR.
We heard you, Kevin.
Okay.
Ryan, do you have any comments on this? Why David's looking up?
I didn't have a chance to speak with Kevin beforehand, so while you guys talk amongst yourselves, okay. I'll do a little
bit. Is the applicant here?
I believe he said he was.
Oh, you guys are here for that. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is just, to be honest with you guys, this is just an informal discussion. I guess just we're going to gather some information and kind of look it over.
They're looking to purchase the property. If it doesn't go their way, they'll just move on. But
oh, so they're looking to, you guys are looking to purchase?
Yeah, I have a contract right now with
the. Yeah, just hit that until the green light goes on. Just state your name and
I'm Wayne Hobson. Currently, right now, we're under contract to buy the property. I was kind of waiting for this.
What's your address?
It's 95 Roosevelt Drive. Currently, we're on a contract. I'm waiting to get approval for this to purchase the building. It's been a machine shop since day one. I think it was built as part of the Reform Act for bringing new businesses here way back in the 70s. So the first lady that built it was for a machine shop. This guy now has it. Is Hessel Products. He's had it, I think, for about 30 years, and it's a machine shop now. We're looking at to just pretty much make it a home base for our company and a wood shop, pretty much. So it's kind of the same setup that's there now. This is like, they did more manufacturing there. This is more of just kind of like a carpentry shop and just a home base for our office.
This is right.
It's right down the road, right around on the side over here.
Manor, right?
Yeah, it's all machine shop. He made like little electrical parts. But yeah, it's a CR zone.
I don't think this is a change of use, though, is it?
Going from machine shop to woodworking,
not a change. Yeah, and you could see the building is kind of overrun and whatnot, so we're just trying to bring it back to life and kind of.
Yeah, usually, a change of use would be, you know, not necessarily the widgets that are made within it.
Correct.
Right. But if they're making widgets and they change to different widgets,
right,
you're still a widget maker.
Yeah,
but it is a fair question, and I think it's important for Kevin to get some cover from the commission that they would find it to be a continuation of existing.
Well, Kevin's going to have to, Kevin's going to have to issue, in order for them to proceed with their purchase, I assume they would like something in writing from Kevin that confirms that the proposed use.
Yes, so I think we want to present it all to you guys.
With what what's allowed under the pre-existing non-conforming use. Because that's basically what we have is a pre-existing non-conforming use.
Correct.
And you're seeking confirmation in writing from Kevin that your proposed use is consistent with the existing.
Yes.
Do you have a floor plan that you could give him?
Uh,
I don't have anything yet.
Yeah. Well, when you do, he'll probably need that to issue you a certificate of zoning compliance. Okay.
Just hit your mic, Alan.
I believe he can't expand building. That's all. He's going to have to stay within the footprint of the building.
No. It's non-conforming. It's a continuation of an existing non-conforming use.
I know, but you can't expand
well,
the non-conforming.
No. Well,
it gets complicated because it depends on whether the building conforms or not. There could be some expansions to the building if it conforms, because a mere increase in the size doesn't necessarily, in all instances, constitute an illegal expansion.
So in other words, you have a use of the property, right, Albert, that would be existing non-conforming. The building itself may be completely conforming, right? The setbacks, right, the building coverage, building height, things of that nature, so that you could, in theory, expand that building under the umbrella of your existing non-conforming use.
You wanted to put an addition on A side and still met the setbacks and all that.
That's correct.
Right. Right. All right. Is there any other questions or information we'd like to give the applicant? I think at this time we'll get a drawing together that, you know, the inside. I mean, it doesn't have to be done.
Yeah, right now it's just storage.
Yeah, just what you're going to do and, you know, whereabouts, basic dimensions of what's there. And then I think you should go talk with Kevin. And then Kevin could gather whatever information he needs to gather from you.
Okay.
And then, Brian, is there anything else you think I'm missing?
Well, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, but you gave a very basic statement of your use. I would suggest that you provide as much detail.
I had filled out the form that was already here. So there is a form, I think, for new business.
Well, for this.
Okay,
But if you have a more detailed statement of what your use is, I think it would help you down the road to explain exactly what you're doing, so that you know, 10 years from now, people want it.
Yeah, I mean, it's on there stated pretty much. It's a wood shop, right, and interior storage there.
But a wood shop, my point is, I would be as specific as possible with exactly what you're doing, so that there's no confusion down the road.
Have you ever looked at gonna have employees, right?
What's that? No, not. I haven't.
There's a section in there that describes what a statement of use should consist of.
Okay.
There's only six items.
Okay, I'll take a look at that.
And really what's important for your use as well is to be as explicit as you can with what the prior historical use of the building is and was.
Okay.
And you know, words like, you know, manufacturing, machine shop, metal, you know, those all kind of tie together with how, even though you may be making different, materials, it's a manufacturing shop.
Okay.
But if you're doing material storage, or if there's any, you know, outside storage, or, you know, things like that, just try to be as specific as you can.
And I do think you're going to have employees and customers.
No customers. It's just me and my brother in business. So there's two offices in the front.
So we're really just looking for a little bit of office space for us. And then, you know, we do custom cabinet work for our job. So no real customer base that I'm looking to bring in there to sell stuff out of, you know.
So no retail.
Yeah, there's no retail. Yeah, this is
fabricating whatever.
And bringing them to the job site.
Your job.
Yeah, there's no like bringing in customers to sell them at a showroom there or anything.
Gotcha. Any other questions? For Wayne, then I think it would be my recommendation, along with Brian, if I miss anything, for him to go back and talk with Kevin. We'll get him to do a statement of use revised and have Kevin help him with anything else that he needs, and then he can come back if he needs to come back.
Yeah. Kevin, do you need anything further?
No, I'm good. I'm just, like I said, sometimes I need direction, and this definitely is one of those areas.
Okay, well, you and I could speak as well if we want to just make sure we get everything that the applicant or the...
Okay.
Well, I think it was good, Kev. You know,
yeah, like I said,
we don't want to have him make a financial
decision.
I didn't want
to say yes, and I didn't want to say no, but I figured the best way to do it is bring it to you guys.
I agree. And then two, our zoning regulations are right on the website.
Okay.
If you have a problem, just email Kevin and he could give them to you.
Okay.
All right.
Perfect.
Do you have any other questions for us or
anything? No, so really just fill out that form and I'll just resubmit another one.
Yeah, I would give Kevin a call, make an appointment with him, and then come in when he's available and sit down and talk with him, and then he'll walk you through it. Okay.
Perfect. All right.
Thank you so much. You're welcome.
Good. Thanks, guys.
Got what, Kevin?
Thank you.
Yep, I'll see you. Thank you.
See you soon.
Okay, 13, payment of bills. Ryan, I think did you email that to us, or did you give them to us? They're in our packet. Can I have a motion to pay bills if deemed correct?
So moved.
Raymond, second. Albert? All in favor? Anyone opposed? Okay, motion carries. Number 14, can I get a motion to adjourn? Joe, second. Bill? Beautiful. Thank you all for coming. I appreciate it. And we'll see you guys next month. Happy Easter.
Yes, enjoy the holiday.
Happy Easter. Thank you. What? Oh, the time? 8:32.
I'm going to sleep.